Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here with Rob Ossoleri and Sin City Steve on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And, here we are. It's Monday, and roll the clock back to Friday morning, and we wake up to breaking news that Hulk Hogan has passed away. And always, you know, you kind of wonder, because ironically enough, exactly 10 years ago to the day, there was a story that Hulk Hogan passed away. So that's the craziest thing about him actually passing away on this day, 10 years later, when we get it confirmed, when WWE remembers, of course. I guess the most fitting thing to start with was Nick Hogan's reactions. My dad was the most incredible person I've ever known and will always be my hero. He was the most kind, loving, and amazing father anybody could ask for. I feel so blessed to have had the greatest dad in the world. He was not only the best dad, but also my mentor, my best friend. He always has been my best friend, and I love him and miss him more than I could ever explain. I thanked him for everything he has ever done for me and told him how much I loved him and hugged him every chance I got. I spent a lot of time with him the past few years after moving back to Florida to be closer to him, and I'm so grateful for those memories. They're the best moments of my life. I would do anything to have him back, but I know now that he will always be watching over me. I will always remember the lessons and advice he gave me and carry on in a way that I know would make him proud. Thank you for being the best dad in the world, and thank you for being my best friend. I love you so much, big dog. And I will miss you forever. Fitting words from a son to their father. Nick has had some tumultuous times over the years. He was there at Raw tonight, front and center. And, just regarding Nick, what do you guys feel that this statement says about the bond between a father and a son?
Very strong. And that's beautiful. That's what you want to hear going out. We don't want to focus on the negative things that people are, you know, jumping on the bandwagon to discuss. It's not the time. It's more time to celebrate the man and the wrestler and the legend and the father. And that's what we got. We got the latter this time. We got a celebration of Terry Bollea more than anything else in that comment.
Yeah, and we will get to some of the other stuff in a bit. Steve, what are your thoughts about, dad and son?
Yeah, I think that it just goes to show that no matter how far apart a father and a son can be, at the end of the day, they're still a father and a son. Their spats were very public. They didn't exactly get into small altercations either. Whenever that happened, it was always a major thing. But it definitely goes to show that at the end of the day, a family's love is a family's love.
Yeah. And speaking about being family, Vince McMahon put out a statement: "The world lost a treasure today. Hulk Hogan was the greatest WWE superstar of all time, someone who was loved and admired around the world. He was a trailblazer, the first performer who transitioned from being a wrestling star into a global phenomenon. His grit and unbridled thirst for success were unparalleled and made him the consummate performer. He gave everything he had to the audience, whom he appreciated, respected, and loved. He leaves us with one of his favorite expressions: train, take your vitamins, say your prayers. Today we pray for him. And speaking of sons, Shane replied, my dad could not have been more eloquent about what he wrote about the Hulkster. What a deep loss for us all. Hulk's legacy is truly immortal. Thank you, Terry, for everything you did for both the McMahon and WWE family. We will all miss you. Godspeed, brother. Very interesting, of course, being that Vince, has always been the catalyst for what WWE is. But when you look at the history and the right timing and the perfect person to head the ship, there is no doubt without Hulk Hogan, there's no Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan without Vince McMahon. Is there any way to look at it as, everyone complains about how Vince stole the talent, but the idea of the fact that Hulk Hogan was already prominent in Rocky III, and through stories, whatever the truth is, the alleged incident was Vern Gagne wanted to put the title on Hogan in the AWA, but he wanted a cut of the merchandise and the money that Hogan was making in Japan. And that's why Hogan said, nope. And, moved on to the WWF. Again, thinking about that connection, was Vince McMahon in the right in choosing Hulk Hogan to lead that era? And could anyone else have been the face of the company?
No, I highly doubt that anyone else could have done that. And realistically, they tried. That's something that I think gets overshadowed in all this, is Vince had his guys that he tried to push and that, he kind of took his bets on. But no one paid off like Hogan. I think you hit the nail on the head, Matt. He already had this aura around him, this fame that he was bringing with him. So I think that it was truly a perfect storm. And, say whatever you will about the man, what he did for this business, for professional wrestling, for the wrestling fandom, for everything that we know today, yeah, we owe it all. We owe it all to that connection.
Rob, being a New Yorker, why is it true that all you New Yorkers steal everything good and then claim it as your own?
The Yankees under George Steinbrenner are where you get that idea from, because he was grabbing pitchers like Catfish Hunter, buying them up, and then, and here's Reggie Jackson, and this is my team. This is my league now. I built this. But historically speaking, if we're going to go off this tangent, your best lineup of Yankees are 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, and they're all from the Clippers, the Columbus Clippers farm system, where you got Jeter.
Roger Clemens and Clemens and Wade Boggs.
Doc Gooden was a couple of seasons. Wade Boggs was really only in like 96, 97. There was no 95 season. The people you're mentioning did not contribute all that much. Now, Doc Gooden did pitch out.
Tino Martinez
was from Seattle Mariners, and he did do well, and he added Chuck Knobloch. But you had Jeter.
Paul O'Neill.
You had Derek Jeter. Farm system. Mariano Rivera, a complete unanimous vote. Farm system. Jorge Posada, farm system. Andy Pettit, farm system.
Bernie Williams, and that's it. Five guys out of a fucking 32-man roster.
What do you want, an entire team of just one farm system feeding an entire team? Jesus Christ.
David Cone, David Wells, not Yankees.
Yankee, you don't have to start in any sport, just like with professional wrestling. And professional wrestling, you just said, hey, Hogan came from Japan. Terry Bollea came from Japan. He cut his teeth in movies first as Sugar Lips, right? And Rocky III.
Thunder Lips. Sugar Lips is another movie you were watching last night.
Buddy. Yeah, Thunder Lips. Right. But the point is, nothing is in a box, and no one starts and finishes that all the time. With Hogan, Hogan is wrestling. And the only person that I think could have maybe done it, but he did not have as great of a physique, and he didn't have, in some ways, the same type of energy, would have been Ric Flair, but he was off elsewhere, working, NWA, WCW, and so on with Ted Turner. I don't know how that would have worked in a field without Hulk Hogan. You had big people, but you didn't have a utility player like you got with Hulk Hogan. And let's not forget, finally going to WCW, rebranding, becoming a heel. We're hoping we're going to see that this Saturday with a certain Cody Rhodes, or Sunday, I should say. But maybe we might get there. We might see that again. But who was able to do it as good as Hogan? Nobody, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So Michael Cole says Hulk Hogan created sports entertainment and the business would be nothing without him. Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon created sports entertainment. There's a reason that Netflix and Peacock and USA Network are broadcasting our shows on a weekly basis because of what they created back in the 80s, taking this small regional promotion and turning it into this global juggernaut. There are millions and millions of people my age and your age as well who would not be professional wrestling fans today if it wasn't for the immortal Hulk Hogan. He epitomized what it was to be a superstar, the bandana, the blonde hair, the 24-inch pythons, the great shape, preaching to the children, say their prayers, take their vitamins, and he was larger than life. Terry Bollea turned up to number 10. In the 1980s, he was probably the most famous person on the planet. Anywhere you went, you would hear the name Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan created the entire rock and wrestling era in the WWE and really put sports entertainment on the map. The valid point there is the fact that rock and wrestling was probably one of the biggest things to come out of that, 1985, 86 era. And MTV's involvement was undoubtedly one of the biggest things that you could do. Getting involved with probably the most hip, just thing that everyone was watching at the time. And so when they did the War to Settle the Score and put it on there, the popularity surged, and that was enough to basically make Vince go, okay, WrestleMania. And again, not only Hogan, but the involvement of Mr. T was something that, is undoubtedly one of the biggest things you could have possibly done, getting Cyndi Lauper involved. It just speaks to volumes on what they created. And the biggest thing here is that when you think about small, the territories, the regional promotions, Jerry Lawler had Andy Kaufman, but that feud only reached the Memphis area. It was never national. And even though they went on Letterman,
I was just about to say,
right. But no one else could see it. And it was after the fact that the match had taken place and he had already pile-drived him. And that's why he was in the neck brace. So, even that point, when Kaufman was getting into it, it was not on a national scale. Could you see celebrities, getting involved with Vern Gagne or going down to, the Von Erichs and, Texas.
Who's that back then? If you're a celebrity, you're not going to think to do it. It's not like it is now where it's all integrated. You know, you might see a comic or a celebrity. WWE is marketing today where they're going to have the celebrities like it's a basketball game, and they're going to have them up front and then give them 2 seconds and put the camera in their face. You didn't have that back then in the 80s. So to have Cyndi Lauper was a big deal, but even then she wasn't sitting on the sidelines. She was, integrated into it. And all of the, it was the old, not the pyramid, but the old spider web where, you know, this guy branched off and created three more and three more and three more. You wouldn't have Captain Lou Albano doing Super Mario later on in the 90s. You had all of these different little things that you would never think about that exploded. But it's not just Hogan. Hogan was at the right place at the right time with Vince, at the right place at the right time with technology. Because if you didn't have the proliferation of cable being what it is back then, where you could do that, then none of this is going to happen. It all happened at the same time, and Vince was there. I want to give Vince, in this case, a little bit more credit than Hogan. That would be like, I'm a comic, yes, and I impersonate people, and I get on stages, but you need somebody to know how to plug you in for you to be able to do those things. So it was a symbiotic relationship. One, he would not have WWE where it is without Hogan, and Hogan would not be Hulk Hogan if it weren't for somebody wise enough to be able to plug him in.
Well, in some regards, yes, in some regards, no. Because Hogan was getting big in the AWA, and you know, Rocky III was a catapult. So the one thing that Vince needed was Hogan to sell the programming to the networks, to the executives. Hogan was the person who charmed them, and you know, and when you saw that big guy, you know, you knew that you could sell that, right? So that's how you sell the you know, it to the network. And so it was very important. Could you imagine, you know, Vince trying to sell that with Piper? It'd been really hard. You know, that's the truth. The truth is that Hogan was the perfect person to play that role because that's what he did. He played Hulk Hogan 24/7. All right. One of the things that Hogan did do is he spent his life supporting causes like animal welfare, cancer, and diabetes through organizations like Make-A-Wish and 50 Legs. How this week understated was it about, you know, we'll get into the controversies, but the fact of the matter is that Hogan was one of the biggest Make-A-Wish guys in the early stages. Make-A-Wish didn't start until 1980. So, you know, Hulkamania started in 84. By 85, WrestleMania hit. So, you know, the first, 6 years, 7 years, you know, into Make-A-Wish, Hogan's the big guy. You know, one of the biggest of all time until, you know, John Cena comes in and takes that over. You know, does it get understated? Does it get lost, the fact that, you know, in a 40-plus year career, this guy did support so many good causes, even though so much focus is on the negative?
Yeah, I think that people are always going to focus on the negative. Unfortunately, that's a byproduct of our system and our society that we're in right now, is people will, you know, they tend to forget about the positives that happen and tend to focus largely on the negative, when in all actuality, they need to be looking back at achievements and ways that an individual made something better. That's not to say that we shouldn't scrutinize things or look at negativity, but it should not be the overwhelming way that we remember somebody, especially somebody like Hulk Hogan.
The reason why we're at this point we're in is simply put, what do we talk about? The proliferation of Hulk Hogan via cable. Now we're in an internet age where it goes directly to your phone. The moment you screw up, we're not only just critiquing that you screwed up, but we critique how you try to clean it up. So they have a pay-per-view, St. James, and Hulk is dressed up like a pirate. And they have him next to, and I can't even remember who his co-host was. I just remember they paired him up with Worldwide Industries. Why am I blanking out on the name? He fell under the ring during Royal Rumble.
Titus O'Neil.
Titus O'Neil. Took you a second, too. But remember that. They put him with Titus O'Neil. And they put him with Titus O'Neil because they wanted to clean him up. And they wanted to, oh, after he said the N-word and this, that, and the other. And you go, oh, my God, this is sad. This is all Hulk dressed up in a pirate's car. So going, arr. And that sticks out, unfortunately, in these times as much as his career. And yeah, it was cancel culture, but it's also, it's not even just cancel culture. It's the way you try to come back. And I think with Hulk, the problem was we got tired of seeing him. Cause let's rewind this 6 months earlier when we're like, oh, he's promoting his shitty beer. In fact, we were making fun of his beer last week.
Yeah.
Whoa. Hold on now.
There's no holding on.
No. It's a good time for a nice cold. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Real American beer. Real American. Say your prayers.
El Cerveza, La Cerveza Americano.
Drink your American beer.
El La Cerveza Americana.
That's good.
Rhino. Oh, okay. You scared the shit out of me. I'm like, wait a minute. What happened? No, but that was my thing. How many times did we say, oh, Becky Lynch is being a Hulk Hogan. She won't drop the belt. She's always got, where did we get that? Forget about the racism. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about a guy who wouldn't lose to people. He didn't want a job. It wasn't even jobbing. He didn't want to put people over. Remember the match with Shawn Michaels, where Shawn Michaels was just like, all right, fuck you then. I'm going to overreact to every fucking hit and punch and kick. And that famous one where he's on the top and he just flies in the air. Okay, then. The guy was in a goddamn saint in or out of the ring, but he did more good than bad. And it's just the society we are in now. We are more interested in seeing people fail than we are seeing people succeed. When someone succeeds and they get their big title win, we celebrate them for about a month and then we're bored onto the next thing. So the fact that we're looking at this guy with skewed glasses is not surprising, but he also left himself wide open for a lot of that. It's, you know, if you say something stupid once, we'll forgive you. If you act like a jackass over the years consistently, you're going to have people looking at you with a very sketchy lens, and that's fair.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let's focus on this. This was from a fan, I believe, where I got this. I remember one time at an airport, about 1987, Hulk Hogan signed one autograph after another to the point where it took him 46 minutes to get to the gate. They were closing the doors as he was boarding the plane. This one fan asked him for his autograph. He said apologetically, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm going to miss my flight. And he got on the plane. I was right behind him, and I heard the bystander flippantly remark, just like I figured. I always thought he was a jerk. I thought to myself, that person had no idea how many autographs he just signed. Now, you know, that's the thing about being a public person. Hogan did go out of his way to sign autographs, talk to the fans. He was a very personable celebrity. So, you know, that's another thing that kind of gets forgotten. Now it's all, you know, people wanting autographs for eBay. People, you know, filming people at the airport, et cetera, et cetera. 1987, 1988, 1989, the height of that popularity. You'd get mobbed and there wouldn't be this sense of, oh, this person is an asshole. It was private. You thought that to yourself if you didn't get his autograph, but it wasn't shared all over. You know, is that type of fandom, you know, that essentially Hogan for this industry created that. And now we have people like Mercedes Moné, who, if you approach her in the airport, she will call security and scream at the top of her lungs, rape, and, you know, cry, because she doesn't want to be bothered. You know, you know, did Hogan really elevate wrestling to that level where from his point on, it's been this constant following of, you know, people wanting the autographs of wrestlers? Because before, again, it was territories, it was small, after a show, etc.
Well, you just opened up another floodgate, though. He elevated wrestling to a sport by that logic, because prior to that, you're not chasing after a wrestler unless you live in some podunk county. Now you've got guys chasing you in an airport. That means you elevated what you did to the level of mainstream baseball, football, basketball. That's a huge accomplishment. And yeah, there's always going to be that one jaded fan. But in today's society, there are 50-50 mindsets on the whole personality thing, being personable. I met Miz and Alexa Bliss at Ghost Bar. They were fucking awesome. They were down to earth, cool as fuck people. And I'm saying that they're going to behave the same way rushing to a plane. I hope they would tell me to go fuck off if they're rushing. Yes, we'll get to that. Oh,
speaking of this guy, look at here. Speaking of meeting famous people, he met a WWE Hall of Famer this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike Tyson. And
Mike Tyson got to meet Donald Trump, a WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah. So that was
an awesome experience for him.
Yeah, and the question is, did he ask Trump for his autograph?
He asked for a few pardons for some indiscretions that took place during the late 80s and early 90s and late 90s. And from what I was told, Trump is looking into it. They're going to see if they can expunge the record and also include him in the newest season of the Mike Tyson mystery team. So that cartoon that they have, Trump's going to replace Pigeon.
What fucking year is this? 2011?
Yeah, they're going to bring it back and they're going to replace Norm MacDonald's character with Donald Trump. It's going to happen.
Shit.
Steve, what are your thoughts about approaching wrestlers? And because I know that you get approached all the time. People think you're Kevin Owens.
Shit. You know, it's always been a thing for me. I have a real problem with approaching pro wrestlers if they are in an airport, if they're at a hotel, or if they're eating in a restaurant. Those are my no-go zones. I won't even consider it. I just wish that everybody else had the level of decorum. But that, you know, Hulk Hogan was the first pro wrestler to actually be a superstar. He was the guy that brought fame into the business. Before it, you know, it really wasn't. I mean, you had your local legends, of course, but he transcended, not just in the U.S., but across the world.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that he did in Japan stands out. If you haven't seen any of the work that Hogan did in Japan, yeah, the guy can work. It'll blow your mind if you go back and you watch any of the matches that he did in Japan, for sure.
Speaking of Madison Square Garden, put up a salute to Hogan. The Allstate Arena in Chicago did as well. So, you know, he made the arenas. Then we got what happened over the last week with his ex-best friend, Bubba the Love Sponge. Now, this here, we've got Hulk Hogan was reportedly intubated, experiencing renal failure, fluid overload, and suffering from severe COPD after a May 14th neck surgery. Hogan was treated at Tampa General Hospital, but when doctors determined there wasn't much left they could do, he was sent home. One source close to the situation told Dave Meltzer, Bubba the Love Sponge pretty much had legit info the whole time. Basically, what happened with Hulk was they took him out of the hospital, made a hospital in his house, as there wasn't much left they could do. Now, what I've been thinking all week is, first off, Bubba the Love Sponge was not prominent in Hogan's life at this point. So the question becomes, what was this source that was feeding him this information? Number two, the one thing that really pisses me off is when someone goes and, you know, he said something, said, you know, I hate it to be the one who was right, but, you know, I was right. I was reporting the truth. But at the same time, if the family's wishes were not to get people worried and thinking he was, you know, sick and ill and dying, etc., why the fuck are you out there then giving this information other than to get your name out there and to get fucking people to fucking listen to your show? And
that's what it is.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, he goes on after Hogan died and says something to the extent that, Sky, his widow, you know, set up all the trust stuff was, you know, put basically so that Nick and Brooke can't touch it, and all the, you know, copyrights and blah, 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 everything was transferred to her. That basically he was saying that, essentially she did this, on purpose. It was just short of saying she killed him for his money. I mean, at this point, is this guy just a fucking joke, or is he legit in fucking going ahead and reporting?
Hold on. I'm a longtime Howard Stern listener, and Bubba the Love Sponge, when Howard Stern goes to Sirius, tags himself on to Howard Stern and is on after the Howard Stern show as part of the Sirius package for Howard 100 and 101. When that doesn't work for him, Bubba the Love Sponge's career goes back to, you know, terrestrial radio back in Florida. He's got money issues, invites Hogan over there and records him banging his wife. The guy's a scumbag of scumbags, and him trying to reassociate himself with Hogan in any way really just illustrates how desperate the guy is for his 15 minutes. There is absolutely zero to walk away with. You can't hold your head up high on this one and say, I was in the know. All right. You were a leech to him back then. And quite honestly, that guy contributed a lot to Hogan's downfall in the later 2000s. He fucked Hogan bad. And
well, his wife kind of did.
Yeah, no, but yeah, I know, all puns aside, let's get rid of the puns. The guy fucked up Hogan's reputation in a very severe way. And then Hogan's, you know, little montage behind the scenes did not do him any favors. That was, you know, insult to injury. But this is, for far as I remember, happened first. And for the fact that this guy should not be opening his fucking mouth up, if at all, he should just go, you know what? I lost a big friend. We went through some tough times together, but in the end, I loved him no matter what. Think of me what you will, but this is about him, and I miss him. The end. It's all you fucking say, not a gotcha moment. What kind of fucking scumbag does a gotcha moment? If anything, first of all, logically speaking, you're trying to have a gotcha moment off Hogan's back. You look worse than where you began. That's not even a good play. You know, oh, well, you know what it is? These people now are saying such offensive, over the top shit because you want to then like hate listen to him or hate watch him. Yeah. No, don't even give him that satisfaction. Just cold shoulder this fuck because he's not worth it. To say that, unacceptable. Just cold shoulder him. Don't. I want to hear what he's going to say next, or I want to hear somebody call into his show and bawl him out. Don't, because that's what he's hoping for.
So, Steve, being a big Bubba the Love Sponge fan, are you going to continue to listen to him?
Dude, fuck Bubba the Love Sponge. The dude is literally just trying to keep his name relevant at this point in time. I mean, his 15 minutes were up 45 minutes ago, and he refuses to admit reality.
I'm glad you brought that up, because here's someone whose 15 minutes was up about 45 minutes ago and refuses to accept reality, Mr. Dave Meltzer. When Jake Sneed said, let's go to this one first. Meltzer had to reply to John Sacco. John Sacco said Babe Ruth helped save baseball and elevate it to a new level. Hogan did the same thing. Comparing him to the Babe is perfect comparison. Meltzer then had to reply, Hogan didn't save wrestling. Tweet Sanchez said, I imagine if he did for AEW what he did for WWF back in the day, you would be glazing all day. And then Meltzer replied to Jake Sneed, no, he didn't save it. He paved the way for what it is now. Without Hulk Hogan, there would be no mainstream wrestling. And Meltzer said, please leave the history for those who actually studied it. What pisses me off about this guy is the same thing about Bubba, the Love Sponge. And that is, Dave Meltzer attached his name to Hulk Hogan and the steroids case like a fucking man who fucked a whore and got a case of herpes and couldn't let it go. And that's where this guy fucking made his bread and butter for a year, was off of that fucking case. Okay. Reporting that shit, trying to get the inside scoop. He fucking went all over, you know, the insider.
It's the same mindset as I'm going to say something salacious. So you're so angry that you're going to go back to my page to watch me argue with a bunch of losers. I get hits. I am relevant. This is fucking the oldest. It's like, does it sound like somebody that you know? I wonder who would do something like that, deliberately piss people off with the most easy insults like you've never seen before. And then they come right back to Daddy Don.
Wait. Hold on. Before I get your take, Steve, on Meltzer, you brought up Daddy Don. Now, Daddy Don had something to say. And he said how great of a guy Hulk Hogan was.
Excuse me.
MAGA guy.
We lost a great friend today, the Hulkster. Hulk Hogan was MAGA all the way, strong, tough, smart, but with the biggest heart. He gave an absolutely electric speech at the Republican National Convention. That was one of the highlights of the entire week. He entertained fans from all over the world, and the cultural impact he had was massive. To his wife, Sky, and family, we give our warmest, best wishes and love. Hulk Hogan will be greatly missed.
You know, and Hogan, again, you know, Donnie does his stuff, but Hogan and Trump have known each other for years. You know, it goes back. He got lots of pictures of those two together. I'm sorry. There we go. That's a little better there.
By the way, I want you to understand something in that picture, a little nerd moment there. Do you see how much taller Hulk is than Trump? Hulk, after all of Hulk.
Sorry.
Play the right one.
It's gone.
Hulk, after all of his back surgeries, is probably as tall as Trump when he passed, because he was actually closer to like 6'5", 6'7". And yeah. Trump is already 6'3" or so. So that just illustrates. And I've seen some pictures of that back surgery where they're fusing segments together. Oh, yeah. He lost about 3 inches of height off that surgery.
Yeah, and it's amazing because, Hogan's...
Then still fought 15 years after that.
Right, and Hogan, Hogan's probably down a few inches and probably weighs, about like 260, 270. And, Trump is about the same height and probably weighs about 310. So it's crazy. Steve, what do you think about Dave Meltzer being a prick?
I mean, realistically, it is what it is. People are going to love Meltzer. They're going to hate him. At the end of the day, if you just view him as a resource and a historian, then that's completely fine. Personally, I'm not, the star scale and things of that nature. It's completely completely subjective, and it's one of those things that you have to realize that at this point with Dave Meltzer. I definitely appreciate him, and like with Hogan, I appreciate what Dave Meltzer's done for professional wrestling journalism. But you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is.
And you definitely appreciate what this guy here did for pro wrestling, and that is Tony Khan making AEW. But a lot of fans were pissed off because Tony didn't say anything on Twitter. AEW didn't release anything official until Saturday night on Collision, their biggest watch show that everyone knows they tune in for and would hear this message. Tony Schiavone did take the time to say, sometimes we take a look at these stars that are bigger than life and we forget that they are just like us, human, and we forget they have families, that they care about them. Our condolences go out to Hulk's family, his children, Brooke and Nick, his wife, Sky. And if you've never lost a member of your family, you have no idea what the pain they are going through right now from all of us here at All Elite Wrestling. RIP, brother. It was a nice little statement by Tony Schiavone. Did Tony go rogue, or was someone back there sitting with a internet gun to TK's head and saying, you got to say this?
I think that it was one of those things that so much was made of TK and the AEW official accounts being radio silent on the day of his passing and up until that tribute during Collision, which was extremely well done. I think that the thing that goes without saying is Tony Khan, I forget the remarks made. I definitely don't want to repeat them here, but one of Hogan's ex-wives made some really nasty comments on X, and Tony Khan, this was a while back, he made mention that she joined Hulk in being banned from AEW. So that obviously set the tone right there. Hulk Hogan was banned from AEW. And then you pair that up with the fact that he didn't have anything to say. Obviously, it became one of those situations that they had to do something as a company. If they would not have mentioned anything, even on Collision, which if you look at it chronologically, you mentioned this happened Friday. Dynamite is on Wednesday. So they saved it for their TV show. Realistically, I don't know if they're going to do anything on Dynamite this coming Wednesday, but I think that them doing it even on Collision was, you know, if Tony didn't want to use the social media channels to honor Hogan, I see that, I guess. But my problem would have definitely lied in the fact that they not mention it at all. But thankfully that was resolved.
So Rob, how many months before the Hulk Hogan Memorial AEW Battle Royal, in which Linda Hogan gets $20,000, you know, per mention?
Okay, AEW people, we're going to have the Hulk Hogan Memorial Belt in honor of the time that Hulk Hogan was dropped from the ceiling and landed on the turnbuckle with some improper rigging. We are going to pay homage and give him his own belt. And in honor of Hulk Hogan and other great AEW talent, like Kevin Owens, not Kevin Owens, Kevin Owen Hart, and Terry Bollea. Wait, I think that's the same guy. Maybe he's not. We'll give the Terry Bollea Memorial Sky Belt in honor of Brooke Hogan. Thank you. You guys enjoying the show? All right. This is Terry's first time seeing the Terry Bollea Hulk Hogan Sky, Rebby Sky Memorial Belt. Okay. Thank you, guys. God bless.
All right. Speaking of tributes on SmackDown, these men right here, Sergeant Slaughter, Jimmy Hart, Million Dollar Man, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and B. Brian Blair, were all part of SmackDown again tonight on Raw. You had Nick Hogan, you had Eric Bischoff there. And of course, it was really just emotional to see Jimmy Hart letting his tears out, you know, with all the years that he spent with Hogan. Nice little treat there. A couple other tributes. Shawn Michaels said, a legend, larger than life presence. Hulk Hogan didn't just work in this business. He transformed it. Rest in peace, Hulkster. Triple H said, WWE would not be where it is today without the larger than life characters that compete in the ring. And few, if any, loomed larger than Terry Hulk Hogan and Bollea. The Miz said, when I was a kid, I ate my vitamins, said my prayers because Hulk Hogan told me to. He was someone I looked up to, a larger than life presence, copied constantly growing up, the voice, flexing charisma. He made you want to be bold, loud, confident, RIP Hulk Hogan. Bully Ray said, we lost the biggest name in professional wrestling, and make no mistake, Hulk Hogan is the biggest name in the industry. Hulk Hogan is the be all and end all when it comes to this business. Without Hulk, all of this stuff does not go on. The business does not boom the way it did and continues to do. Without Hulk Hogan, there is no match against The Rock for the greatest of all time. There's no house. There is no house in the Garden, no house in Toronto, no house in the Superdome or whatever. There's no house in Sheboygan, Duluth, Des Moines, Bangor, Bakersfield. Hulk Hogan will always be responsible for the house. And in this case, the house is the entire professional wrestling business. Some big tributes, you know, going out to Hogan. We also got guys like Devon putting in his two cents. He said, Hogan apologized to him. There was a lot of this with the racism going on. And Devon ended his thing here with, I'm not just talking about people in the industry, I'm talking about people in general. You're being hypocrites about it. Don't say good things about him now that he's gone. Try to correct how you felt before and how you couldn't let it go, which was, very overwhelming. Mark Henry said his place on Mount Rushmore, I think, is concrete. I've never heard somebody say, oh, yeah, my Mount Rushmore and Hulk Hogan wasn't on it. I feel like people out there have this bias where they went or they want to delve into the negativity on Hulk's life. Not going to do it, guys. It's a celebration of his life and what he gave to the sport. Probably the most important thing that any wrestler could give our sport and our business. He made it better. He made the whole world know about the sport that particularly didn't even watch wrestling. That's a mark of somebody that I feel like is a great beacon and a great stalwart for the industry. Kevin Nash said, for the people who want to go after Hulk Hogan for doing this or that, you know what? How about fuck you, man? He's dead. How about his kids, man? Can you just lay off the man? Ain't nothing going to change now. It's sensationalism. It's, I've never liked him anyway. Who gives a fuck? Think about his kids. Think about his friends and his family. And if you don't have anything good to say, shut the fuck up. And even Michael Rappaport got in it, says, we're not going to disrespect the Hulkster. That's what we're not going to do, okay? We're not going to be disrespecting legendary Hulk Hogan. I don't care if he had some controversy outside of the ring. I don't care if he endorsed whoever. We're talking about one of the most original characters in American pop culture history, all right? We're talking about a guy who created something from his imagination that captured the world's attention. Men, women, and children all knew who Hulk Hogan was. We're not going to disrespect the Hulkster for the joy he gave. Forget about you as an adult, sicko. Think about you as a kid. Talk about a real-life superhero when the Hulkster was out there, oiled up with his goatee and his hair, pure joy, elation, a total original. And
Michael Rappaport always says borderline gay crap. Of course he goes to the oil,
Yeah, well,
guy's sitting there oiled up, but, I'm 12 years old. I'm rubbing one out. I don't got a problem saying that. I'm a fucking real American.
And, of course, Tessa Blanchard. I'm not going to sit here and act like Hulk Hogan was perfect. None of us are, but people love to jump on that to pick people apart and have their worst day define them for the rest of their lives. And sometimes it's like they forget the human underneath it all. And this is coming from someone who is constantly getting chance about being a racist at shows. And the last here, Chelsea Green, Chelsea Green came out and she said some positive things about Hogan on a CBS morning show. And then she apparently was getting negative comments and death threats. So she said, I've tried to keep my page positive and comedic, but today a lot changed and it hit harder than I expected. The name calling, the death threats, the faceless accounts. Social media was supposed to be a fun place and it hasn't been for a while. It's been overwhelming. I need to step away for a little bit. Let me be clear. My stance on racism is unwavering. I do not condone it, period. If my response or tweet seemed dismissive of real concerns, I sincerely apologize. That was never my intention. I try to acknowledge a death respectfully, even when the legacy is complicated. I'm learning one day at a time and will continue to learn. Wow. I mean, this is the kind of shit that went down this week. Total people, you know, who absolutely were saying stuff like Hulk Hogan's dead and not a minute too soon. And people, you know, who were appreciating him respectfully for what he did, even though they were separating, you know, him as a person.
How many memes did you see already this weekend of him floating around with the devil from South Park, or he gets to heaven and Jesus is black, and you laugh to a degree, and I go, yeah, I don't know. This is tacky. And that's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. God bless you to have someone that famous to make fun of, you know, who is at that level. All right. And here's the difference between him and other people. He's one guy. He was long out of that ring for the most part. He's a person who wants to live his remaining years, make money, leverage his name. There's nothing wrong with that. He's not a politician. He's not running your home. He's barely on your screen. Fucking get over it. Fucking get over it. You know, the guy is a legend. A legend who's flawed. Oh. But out of some of the people that even some of the people I impersonate, I'll take it. By comparison to some of the shit that's going on, I'll fucking take it. I don't have to worry about him and a guy named Epstein. I hope, you know. You hope. Exactly. Let me tell you, kids, you took your vitamins. Yeah, I can tell. It would have been like, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 hey, hey, oh. But I don't think that happened as far as we know. So you know what? You're okay by me, even though you did that pirate WrestleMania bullshit, which that was probably the most embarrassing part of your career. That needs to be scrubbed. That's worse than anything you've ever said.
Steve, you know, the fact of the matter is that I think a lot of this got complicated. You know, the racism comes up, but a lot of it got complicated in his involvement in endorsing Trump and attaching himself to politics. You know, now it's a free country. You can do that. But you know, the question is does that amp up the, you know, the responses, the views, because he's attached himself to, you know, this idea where a lot of people already viewed him one way. And now you're basically just tacking this onto yourself. You know, basically, you just put a target on your back for a whole audience to just, you know, we saw what Netflix happened in LA, and, you know, last time you're going to see him on a WWE stage, that's what the fans did.
Yeah. It's one thing to, you know, make remarks and for them to be picked up. I think that something else that needs to be stated is that, you know, we just know Hogan's remarks because they happen to be released, via video footage, but
it was the lawsuit. It was the Gawker lawsuit that brought it out.
But the fact is that, you know, how many of our childhood heroes would face the same scrutiny? And it's one of those things that, you know, as I've mentioned, you know, you have to be willing and you have to be able to separate the man from the character and look at him from a professional sense. Undoubtedly Hulk Hogan, you know, helped to propel the industry into heights that it's never seen before.
Well, when you say the industry, Steve, I think you're talking about the beer industry. The Hulk Hogan's Real American Beer is the essence of real, downright American, Americana. And I'm telling you right now, if you say your prayers, take your vitamins, do your training, and drink your real American beer, you'll grow up to be just like Becky Hogan.
Oh, man.
Now, here's my thing. You know what? I'll take these plugs over white fuzzy slippers.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I do just want to say one thing to kind of put a button into the question that you asked me specifically, Matt. Yep. And that was, you know, it is astounding that so many people can voice their advocacy and speak to one side of the political spectrum. But when Hogan did that, it seemed like as if there was just a giant magnifying glass. And you know, like it or not, that's the society that we live in. So sure. it is, you know, it's the will of the people, at this point. So it's unfortunate because optics matter. And you know, there are people out there that could, you know, vehemently denounce certain things and speak out against certain things. But because people are, you know, just following a narrative, and they buy into that narrative, that is one major problem that our society faces, and it happens on both sides.
I think for the whole Trump thing last year, if you notice the people who follow Trump, it was a lot of all the washed up guys from the 80s, Charles in Charge, right. All these guys.
Yep.
And it's like a nostalgia thing because that's their decade where they all mattered was the late 80s and the 90s. 80s.
Yeah.
Fine. It didn't do him any favors. It didn't. No. It didn't put a shine on his career. It did put a bullseye on him, a small one. Yeah. If I'm his agent, I would have told him maybe not to have done that, but does it really matter in the grand scheme of things when you're like fucking 70 years old? Whatever. But then
clearly it did.
Well, because when he went out to promote his beer on Raw, they booed him out of the fucking building. Yeah. But on the flip side,
let's remember when he went to the stores to promote his beer. There would be some agitation every once in a while, but there were throngs of people showing up to meet him. And so what's interesting is that the acceptance was still there, even though there was such a negative connotation as well.
The thing I have with that is it's the double-edged sword that is social media, because now I'll get all the targeted people. It's like a filter, and I can squeeze out and get the pure remaining fans. But the proof was in the pudding when you went to a big arena and they're booing you out of the fucking building. Of course, at the stores, you're going to get only the diehards left. God bless him. You have a belief. No one should stifle you if you want to speak out and do what you do. Did he look corny with you ripping this? Fine. It is what it is. Was it the brightest thing to have done to get behind such a polarizing person when you yourself are polarizing? No. But
can we ask the million-dollar question? And that is this. Hulk Hogan has never done anything in his career that didn't involve money. So the biggest question is, how much do we get paid for it? And with Trump bringing up the, you know, the Democrats who paid, blah, blah, blah. Mark my words. Again, he's a stupid man because of the fact that most likely Hogan did get paid for being on stage. You know, and that's just how these things work now.
I would like to find out about that. Not now, too soon, but maybe a year or two from now, they do a little documentary and you find, oh yeah, he pocketed 50,000 off the back end for that. And then I would go.
Yeah,
exactly.
That would be great.
Earn that money.
That was my first thought when I saw him do it. I'm like, well, he's getting paid. Oh, yeah. It's a payday, man. That you don't just go out there and do that.
But that whole event was a disaster. Him, Tony Hinchcliffe coming out, and they still circle around the WWE universe. They're using Tony Hinchcliffe now for SummerSlam to do a roast battle with wrestlers. I'm going,
Well, hey, man, his WrestleMania one was big. So
they canceled it, brother, because of ticket sales. Yeah.
Yep. I did not know that one.
Yeah,
because he's in the wrong. He's in the wrong industry. Doesn't always translate. Just like those idiots from Costco who still show up on AEW from time to time and flex and crap. I went, hold on. Oh, those idiots. I went next. I fast forwarded right through that fucking guy and his kid.
All right, really quick here before we get to a couple other things. We got Thunder Lips from Rocky III, of course, guest starring on the A-Team, Hulk Hogan and Mr. T hosting Saturday Night Live, Muhammad Ali and him in WrestleMania I, the LJN figure, which is making a comeback now, and the NWO. These are a couple of the biggest moments. My favorite moment is him and King Kong Bundy, WrestleMania 2 and the steel cage. Always been just my favorite thing since I was a kid. Your guys, your two favorite moments, or one favorite moment, each of you guys.
Steve, you throw one out there.
All right. So I don't know if I would say favorite as much as I would say most notable. My very first live pay-per-view that I attended was the 1993 King of the Ring from Dayton, Ohio at the Nutter Center. And, that just so happened to be, Hogan's last pay-per-view with the Fed until 2002. So obviously he was defending the title against Yokozuna and famously lost that championship to Yokozuna, due to some chicanery and some outside interference. That's definitely one of the things that stands out because it was my first live pay-per-view experience. Yep. And I just so happened to be pretty close to, you know, where all that stuff was going. So, yeah, I can, you know, all this many years later, I can still play that footage back in my head of seeing that. So, absolutely.
Scoop says Mania 19, his match with Vince is actually pretty good.
Yes, absolutely. Rob?
Two things. Not when he first said we're the new world order of wrestling, but when he came out as Hollywood Hulk Hogan with the spray can and he started doing the right guard jokes and he sprays NWO on the belt and he goes, because anything less would be too civilized. And he reverses the thing. And that's when we really see the NWO. And that's something that I guess maybe I heard it the other day and I didn't think about it, but Hogan, WrestleMania 18 against The Rock, Hogan was supposed to be the heel.
Yeah.
By the end of that match, he flips it completely. Rock is looking around. He comes into the ring. They're booing the shit out of The Rock. Rock doesn't know what to do. Yep. Dwayne Johnson is like, "What? I'm the face." And by the end of the match, now, did Hulk look like a rusty gate compared to The Rock? The Rock is known for slapping fists at 90 miles per hour, and Hogan's doing leg drops still and slow leg kicks, but it didn't matter. And that, and one of the last times that you really think about it, get to hear a proper ring announcement coming from JR, who's every single hit, JR is screaming like it's the Hell in the Cell match. He's putting that much energy behind it, which made it that much more electrifying and puts over The Rock and Hogan. And then we get some great moments afterwards, like The Rock, Hogan, and the Canaanites. Some of the fights. Yes. And the millions and millions of Canaanites out there. And you're like, what? And it was funny to watch Hogan really transition out of wrestling, but looking amazing. Looking amazing.
Yeah. Well, let's not forget, you know, I mean, he had that short, you know, stint in 2005 where he wrestled Shawn. That was about it. And then, you know, his final wrestling was done in TNA. But you know, his most impactful wrestling, you know, came right before he had to step away. And I think that Mr. America, when he showed up, very much like Grande Americana, you know, goes to show that, you know, you try to say it's someone, but it's not them. And I wish people would leave Grande Americana alone. Okay, moving on. We also lost Ozzy Osbourne, WWE Hall of Famer, this week. Ozzy was part of WrestleMania 2. He also was part of the WWE in the early 2000s. Just amazing. And, of course, now is holding the baby Hulk Jesus.
Wow.
I love AI.
Oh, Jesus.
You're going to trigger so many people with that shit. It's going to be
great. Yeah, oh, no, it was. You told me, bloody Baby Hogan. Sharon out me with a Baby Hogan. Shot in the dark, eh?
Favorite Ozzy Osbourne memory, anyone?
I saw Ozzy Osbourne perform at a very, very interesting venue that people would never consider. I saw Ozzy Osbourne perform a set at BlizzCon at the Anaheim Convention Center. Nice. BlizzCon is the video game convention run by Blizzard Entertainment. So he was not announced before the convention, and they made that announcement after we had already gotten to the show that we were going to be able to see Ozzy. And it was completely a very cool set. This was in 2009. So obviously, you know, he still had a little bit left in the tank, but it was great for nostalgia purposes. And yeah, I was front row for that shit. Awesome.
Rob, any thoughts on Ozzy?
Not Ozzy. And I'm going to say, I could not stand King of the Hill. I think Hank Hill is a jackass of a father. I want to throw something at the TV every time Bobby does something amazing. And Hank goes, God dang it, Bobby. And I'm just like, I fucking hate this guy. But then they would put Chuck Mangione in it, and I'm a trumpet player, and I absolutely loved that every joke would be him going back to the riff from Feel So Good. That one stung more than Ozzy for me, because I grew up listening to jazz music, and to hear that he had died, I mean, and again, a lot of these guys lived their full lives and they contributed more than anyone could have imagined, but it still hurts like hell. That one hurt more than Ozzy. But the Ozzy one, I almost felt not good that he died, but good that he had one concert left. And then, bam, a couple days later, he was out. And he went off his damn meds so he could be lucid and perform at his best capability. I felt nothing but good. It was like, hey, man, you did everything and you went out on top. How many people get to say that? Yeah, he was sitting in a throne, but he looked amazing. And was he at 100% vocals? Damn good for what he was going through. Fucking A great. It was uplifting for me to see him in that way. So I was not upset at all. I was like, you know what? He got to see his daughter proposed to. He got the whole final experience, and he crammed it right into 1 week. To think about that, how much shit he crammed, life experiences he crammed in 1 week that most of us wouldn't get in a lifetime. I mean, fuck, that's impressive. Impressive.
Rob, you're a trumpet player?
Yes.
So that's why your act blows.
Wow.
Why don't you go take
a siesta? What? I think I'm having a camera issue.
Yeah, go take a siesta there. All right, Steve, you're over under this week for AEW pissing people off.
Dude, the number is extremely high, especially after last week. I don't think that Tony realizes that to actually promote your product is the best course of action. Last week we had two matches announced before Dynamite. Excuse me, three matches announced before Dynamite. Before Collision, we had four matches announced. So far, as of right now, it's Monday night, and we have two things announced for this coming episode of Dynamite. And so our over-under today is going to be that by 10 a.m. on Wednesday, it will be public knowledge that we will only have three matches signed or fewer. So the under is three for Dynamite matches signed, because he will wait until, no joke, 2 hours before the show itself to announce the fucking matches. Why? And he even said it this week, two words, Twitter engagement. I shit you not. He's not. What the fuck? You're a promoter. You need to be creating matches, making those matches public, selling tickets by announcing those matches in advance. Instead, you're announcing the matches 2 hours, maybe 3 hours before your show via social media for engagement. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, that's the Tony problem. Be with if he would have said something about Hogan, that social media engagement that he missed out on too. So, you know, think about that. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
Right.
I think my camera issues are.
Oh, look at this. We've got the President of the United States here.
How's everyone doing today? You know, it was with great. There we go. You know, fire this guy. What's going on here? Get him out of here. Get him out of here. You know, it is with great and sincere sorrows that we must say goodbye to a living legend, someone almost as big as me with hair, almost as golden as mine. We're talking about little, actually, no, we'll say he was big. He was a big guy, big Hulk Hogan and Brooke Hogan and to all the other Hogan people, Sky Hogan, Balea. We want to give our warmest and sincerest condolences to you and your family. You know, I remember back in 1983 at the Golden Dome when me and Hulk Hogan lifted Andre the Little up and we put him over our shoulders and we slammed him down for the 1-2-3 to become the first ever tag team world heavyweight champion back in the World Wrestling Organization, Federation, World Wildlife Fund, Wrestling Company. It was a tremendous match. It was one of the best matches. It had billions and billions and billions of dollars generated. They've never seen box office like this before. It was sales like never before seen. And Hogan was such a wonderful guy. We used to take him on these flights to this wonderful little island with these people and these really beautiful girls. Girls like, wait a minute. I don't know about the island. Maybe there was an island. I don't know who said anything about an island. It was Mar-a-Lago. We took flights to Mar-a-Lago together. And it was a tremendous time. And he was one of my favorite guys. We fought together in the NWO. I was another time. And I was, unfortunately, I was a Wolfpack for life. We did that too. People forgot about the time that me and Hulk Hogan teamed up and then we had to take out the Macho Man, Randy Travis, Conway Twitty Savage back in 97 with Eric Bischoff. And I said to Eric, we got to get rid of Randy Twitty. We got to get rid of Randy Twitty, Titty Savage. And we had so many wonderful wrestling matches up and down the country together. We shared hotel rooms together, my hotel rooms, and it was fighting like never before seen. They called us the blonde bombshell, the varsity athletes, was it? I think we were called the varsity athletes. To Hulk Hogan, Balea, Bulimic, I want to say thank you for all that you've done.
to make America great again. Thank you and God bless.
All right, a little social media dump, Hulk Hogan style here. Lederhosen's Hogan, the Hulkster, says, "Don't touch my bratwurst, brother." A little AI-generated fan art, Macho Man, Gene, and Hogan up there.
Yep.
The pearly gates in front of the pearly gates, Hogan and Andre shaking hands. And, of course, the two bass players of Metallica are up in heaven together brother. For anyone who doesn't,
said that.
For anyone who doesn't know, Hulk Hogan did claim once that Metallica wanted him to play bass for them. So, sure, Cliff Burton is having a laugh up there. We got Hulk Hogan, Macaulay Culkin as Hulk Hogan. Hulk Conan with Conan O'Brien. And, of course, Live Long and Prosper Brother, Spock Hogan. Hulk Hogan is preceded in death by his parents, Peter and Ruth Bollea. Hulk is survived by an estimated 8.206 billion brothers. This was a tweet Hogan sent out just a while back here, shortly ago. Damn, Bam, I wish you were still with us. I sure would love to hang out again. My brother, love you, miss you. Hulk Hogan and Bam Margera replied, "I'm alive, brother, but miss you too." So that just happened about a week before he passed away. I don't understand how he didn't realize Bam Margera is not dead.
It certainly doesn't look like that anymore.
No. Yeah. Coldplay did have a concert in Tampa. We did get Hulk Hogan and Miss Elizabeth apparently on camera.
Lust in his eyes.
Yep, lust in his eyes. The luster. Oh boy.
Oh wow. Oh boy.
Oh my god.
Jesus, that's frightening.
Yeah, watch that for a while, huh?
Nightmare fuel.
In times of trouble, don't turn to Mona Lisa. Seek guidance from Brother Teresa. The Hulk Hogan, Mother Teresa candle. Gotta love that. So someone posted this, which is amazing. DM, and this person says, "Hey, it's Hulk Hogan. I'm messaging you from a private account. I'm not really dead. Can you cash out me $600 so I can come back to the United States and wrestle again, brother?"
We're looking into it.
That's just unbelievable.
Someone's going to pay. Someone will pay.
Yeah. I mean, who's stupid enough to...
Well, actually, with some of those filters, it would be possible that you could have somebody on the other end go, "Hey, brother, I'm alive. Yeah. And I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma." And I'm like,
But he said he was going to give me a match, man. Damn. When you accidentally catch your little Hulkster in your zipper. The face you make an hour after Taco Bell.
2 hours.
When you open the wrong bathroom stall at an I-95 rest area.
Jesus.
And Earl Hebner's like keeping watch. Look at that. Like Earl Hebner. Right.
This one was reported as Morrissey doing a tribute to Hulk Hogan. It's not true. This was back a number of years ago when Morrissey ripped his shirt off on stage. But it just happens to be yellow, and someone decided that Morrissey was paying tribute to Hulk Hogan by ripping his shirt off.
Yeah, I forget where else I saw that. Yeah. Oh no,
Hogan!
No, what come on, dude, that's not right. Jesus,
that's not right. That's not right. Well, remember when he was on TV and he literally was spray painting this?
Come on.
Hey,
this guy's not even cold on the ground yet.
I'm not the only one late. See, wait, I can explain. I mean, brothers.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, it's all in good fun. And remember, and you got
Rock and Shelton Benjamin in the front. Tiger King.
Once again, R.P. Hulk Hogan.
Tiger King's got hair.
Oh, man. All right. Rob, final thoughts.
I don't know. Yeah, you just had Hulk Hogan saying the N-word like 9,000 times, right?
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm heading over to Boulder City right now. You might catch me on the comedy show they got over there, which is I'm blanking out right now after what I just saw. Backstop Comedy. Oh, motherfucker. On this coming Sunday, I will be hosting Dive Bar at 8 o'clock. Comics, you want to get in on that, you got to come in early, like 7 o'clock or so. Hopefully I'll be there that early myself and I'll remember. But that show runs about a couple hours or so, and that's going to be on Trop and Pecos. Whoa, hello, wrong address. Maryland Parkway and Flamingo. Maryland Parkway and Flamingo is where you can get to Dive Bar. And so I will be hosting. And there's some other things I've got in the works. Just check out Vegas Trump Guy, and you'll see where my shit is going to be going off and where I'll be live. Oh, and Ola Abebe, Wednesday nights. Ola Abebe, you can catch me there at 10 o'clock. That's off Charleston. And before that, I'm usually at Rick's Roll and Smoke that Wednesday. Although I feel like this week I had something I was supposed to do. I'll find out on Wednesday. But usually I'm at Rick's Roll and Smoke before Ola Abebe. And that show starts at 8 o'clock. Excuse me, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock now.
So you're hanging out with the NXT heavyweight champion?
Sure.
Okay. All right, Steve, what do you got to say?
Oh, man. Hey, thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. I love the graphic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%.
Oh, I like PP, brother.
Once again, RIP Hulk Hogan.
You're going to hell. You're going to hell.
And you're going to Boulder, so you'll probably see that guy.
Yeah, you probably will.
You know, everyone thinks that. It's really not that bad. Maybe Hendertucky.
All right. That's right. Andrew Tucker.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, boy. Well, with that note, everyone, thank you for tuning in. And I think this sums it up. Thanks for the memories, Hulk. Love you, Hulkster. And until next time, everyone, we are out of here.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.